where I'd like to start this afternoon, I think, is over in Hebrews 9. Here it's talking about the first covenant and the ordinances of divine service and the worldly sanctuary is how it starts with verse 1. And it goes on to describe the different components included therein. And talks about the second veil where the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, was. And it says that in verse 6, now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The high priest had to offer a sacrifice for himself first. And then he could go in and offer for the people. And I believe it's here in Hebrews, maybe in chapter 7 or here close, it says that for there is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. That's required. But I want to go over to Leviticus real quick and take a look at something that caught my attention here recently. We'll start in Leviticus 4. If you look at Leviticus, starting in chapter 1, it starts to describe the different offerings. The sin offering, burnt offerings, meat offerings, peace offerings. But in chapter 4, you can look at, as you go through 4, 5, and 6, there's arrangements made for the whole congregation. It says, if the whole congregation of Israel sinned through ignorance, or in another, or after that's in 4 and 13 and 4 and 22, it says, when a ruler has sinned and done somewhat through ignorance, and 27 says, if one of the common people sinned through ignorance, and it kind of goes on. But in verse 20, in verse 26, in verse 31, in verse 35, those verses end with, and the priest shall make an atonement for them or him, whatever the individual is under consideration, and it shall be forgiven them. Once the atonement's made, it shall be forgiven. There is. That's just the way it is. There's no doubt here left. God's law here says once atonement's made, it shall be forgiven him. But we understand that these sacrifices did not put away any sin. You can add them all up. All the sacrifices and not one sin was put away by the blood of the bulls and goats. But there was a sacrifice that was made one time. And it put away all sins of all God's people. And we've heard about that today. We've heard about our Lord. And back to Hebrews, in chapter 7, it talks about Jesus being a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Not after the order of Levi. And in fact, Levi, through Abraham, paid tithes to Melchizedek. You know, when we read about Melchizedek, he just kind of shows up. But he was, in verse 11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made, not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Our Lord was made after his priesthood was after the order of Melchizedek. He came down, took on a human body, but he was still, and still is, 100% God. And, you know, you think about the term that he's our all in all. Well, that's true, but think, he's the priest, he's the sacrifice, he's everything. And verse 22 says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. You know, by the law, we understand just how inept we are, how far we've fallen, how short we've come. But we don't have to despair, because Jesus is our atonement. You know, I had started, I'm not even really sure how this came up, but I started seeing atone and forgiveness in those, I think there's 12 different occasions over in Leviticus. And it just jumped out to me that with that atonement, it shall be forgiven. What did the angel say to Joseph when he told Joseph about Jesus being born? He said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He didn't do all he could do. He didn't put forth his best effort. Why else would he say it is finished if it wasn't finished? He came and he gave his life willingly for us. He was perfect. He was innocent. Nothing that they accused him of could stick. When they went to Pilate, and he's like, well, what has he done there? Well, if he wasn't a malefactor, we wouldn't have brought him to you, Pilate. Well, what kind of an argument is that? I mean, that just kind of shows how weak their argument was. They had nothing. Finally, it sounds like after some effort, they found a couple of false witnesses and kind of sounded like they agreed. But I don't think that even would have mattered to them, because they were out for blood. Because he was exposing them for the frauds that they were. But Jesus had to die because of my sins, because of our sins. And he had to do it by himself. There's nothing we can do, nothing we can add. I appreciated the mention of the thief or the malefactor on the cross that said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know, that's such a critical point there for that individual. If there was something that he had to do to go to heaven, surely Jesus would have told him right there. But what did he say? He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't give him any terms and conditions that he had to agree to or steps he had to follow. He couldn't have done much anyway. He was nailed to a cross just like our Lord was, suspended. And Jesus said, today. The man was, he's described as a malefactor. He admitted, we're worthy to be up here. He hasn't done anything wrong. And Jesus told the malefactor, you're going to be with me in paradise today. Because of what Jesus was doing. And we'll be with him because of what he did. He is our atonement. And I haven't gotten it yet, but he offered himself once. That's it. That's all that was necessary. Hebrews 9 and 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Not only did he die for us and pay the price for our sins, but he's coming back. He's coming. We don't know yet when. Some days it seems like it's awful close, but he's coming. And one of these days, as we've heard before, he's going to raise these bodies and we're going to spend eternity with him and with our loved ones that have gone before. I thank you for your attention.